Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, where it's all about making the ultimate leap from your 9 to 5 and building a business and life you love, all while doing it your way. I'm your host, Amanda Boleyn. Let's get started. All right, you guys, welcome back to another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast. I'm so excited to welcome today's guest, Lauren McGoodwin, who is Career Contessa's CEO, the number one power move advocate, and has a life mission to help women build successful and fulfilling careers on their terms. Lauren launched Career Contessa in 2013. I'm so used to saying 2020 now, but 2013. out of her master's thesis project to close the gap in career development resources for women. And Career Contessa now helps over 2 million women each year with their careers through content, online learning, courses, and job listings. And so, Lauren, welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Well, I would love for you to share. Tell us, like, take us back to the day when you started Career Contessa. What were you doing? How did it even come about? Because I think, I know a lot of the listeners are in the early stages. They're either thinking about launching a business, but they haven't quite figured out exactly what it is, or maybe they're a little scared to take that first step, or they've recently started. So I would love for us to start there with your story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll try to make it short. It is kind of a longer story just from the standpoint of a little bit of context. I graduated in 2009. As everyone remembers, another financial recession. It wasn't awesome. There were very few jobs out there. Eventually, I went to University of Oregon, so I left Oregon, moved to LA, and I eventually got a job working as an admin assistant for a university. And you know, it wasn't my dream job. I wasn't excited at all. And in fact, I think I started to get a little nervous about feeling like, oh, wait, I had done everything right. Why am I, you know, is this all that I have going for me? And it wasn't until I got this random assignment at work to do some recruiting. And the way universities do recruiting is really different than like corporate recruiting, but it still kind of introduced me to recruiting. And I really got hooked on that. And decided I wanted to be a recruiter. That was going to be the career transition for me. And I ended up having over a 9-month period, I reached out to over 70 recruiters on LinkedIn, and about 30 of them got back to me. So, you know, I always like to share the numbers so people know, like, it wasn't a very high success rate. So if you get told no or just ignore, just keep reaching out.
I love that. That's so true, because, and even often just in sales and business, we think, oh my gosh, they said no, they don't want to work with me, my prices are too high. It's just a matter of statistics and probability.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, with those informational interviews, for me at least, they were really pivotal in the sense of like, they taught me a lot, or I was able to use a lot of the information I got from the questions and the answers people were giving me to really learn what type, you know, exactly what type of recruiter I wanted to be and what type of company I wanted to work for. So, you know, when it comes to job search, at the time I was just applying to anything. And after those informational interviews, I was much more specific, which I really credit to the success of that job search, and eventually leveraged those into becoming a recruiter at Hulu without any prior recruiting experience. And Hulu was definitely, you know, one of those like forks in the road kind of moment where like everything changed, because I started working for a company that I really, really enjoyed. I was working with really smart people. I was engaged on my job. I was doing really well. So I got like that confidence boost and all that. And simultaneously, I was finishing up my master's program, and I was basically at the part where they say, hey, you got to write a thesis. And I was trying to decide what to write on. And I thought about the fact that I had just gone through this like very tumultuous like job search and soul search, and just kind of feeling like, wow, they're, you know, this, a lot of my friends feel this way too. And so I wrote my thesis on millennial women and career resources, and Career Contessa was actually the prototype from that thesis project.
That's amazing. And so what year are you in right now, just from a chronological timeline standpoint?
So at this point I'm in like 2012, 2013. Okay. So I graduated, or I finished my master's in June of 2013. So I had Career Contessa in June of 2013. I was still working full-time at Hulu. I was, you know, again, like just using Career Contessa as a school project. I fell into some loophole to get some grant money to create the very first version of the website. And then I was going to just be done. You know, I was like, okay, I graduated. I served my purpose.
Like, and that's great. Bye.
And that's awesome. Yeah, exactly. And I was traveling with this developer. We were going to universities looking for tech talent. And he was like, what are you going to do next? And I was like, what do you mean? And he said, after recruiting, I said, I don't know, like maybe I'll be a product manager. I mean, I literally just threw out anything. And he's like, well, if that's the case, you should keep that website around.
You just keep that casual website around.
Yeah, just keep that website around. So 2013 and 2014, I kept working on Career Contestant because I wasn't totally sure what I was going to do with it, but I felt like, well, I'll take his advice, I'll keep it around, and maybe I can leverage it into a new job opportunity. And I left my job at Hulu in late 2014 to work on it full time. So it's interesting how that advice obviously stuck with me. And what made me actually eventually like pull the trigger to leave Hulu, even though I absolutely loved my job, is I went to South by Southwest and we were doing some recruitment there. And I got to go to one panel discussion and it was women entrepreneurs. And the last question they asked everybody is, you know, what's one thing you wish I had done differently or your regret? I can't remember exactly. And they all said they wish they had started sooner.
Oh, so yes.
I went back to Hulu on Monday and I was like, I have to quit.
Oh my God.
And they're like, why? And So it's, you know, I had been thinking about it. So it wasn't quite, I'm making it sound like I just like literally woke up. I had been thinking about it, saving money, you know, doing all the big stuff. And also I gave Hulu about like a 6 month. I was like, I'll leave officially in 6 months. So I had a really long goodbye with them, which helped me also like just prepare everything to, you know, leave and work on it full time.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I want to talk about too the journey of when you were, you know, the first few months when you were full time with Career Contessa, but I do want to unpack your journey with building Career Contessa alongside of working at Hulu, because there's so many. And I always recommend to my students in my programs and my clients is that do as best as you can in working full time and building your business on the side of it until you get to a bottleneck and there's like a breaking point of where you're like, okay, I'm ready to make that leap. But everybody's different. Some people really thrive under pressure. But for you, what did you find yourself? How are you spending your hours and time on Career Contessa while you were working at Hulu?
Yeah. So, I made sure, I mean, the first rule is just like, don't ever work on your side hustle at work. That's a bad habit to do. So what I kind of got into this schedule, and one of the things about working on a, you know, side hustle at the time is that I was so naturally motivated to work on it that, you know, getting up really early to have a couple hours in the morning, coming home at night to work on it for another couple hours, I was all very energized by that. So you know, after I made the prototype when I was in school, I decided I was going to stick with this. I actually worked with a web design firm who was in the same building as Hulu. So I would go usually either at the end of work or maybe on like a quote unquote lunch hour, I would go down there and I would work with the web design firm and I would kind of work out exactly what I wanted the website to look like and the features I needed. Because at the time when I first started Career Contessa, I was only doing the interview series. So my main things were I needed a website to host the series. I actually learned a lot from working with them and having the meetings in person, which I highly recommend if you know, maybe not right now, but if you can have meetings with your web design company or whoever is maybe working with you on that stuff, it's great to do it in person just because I learned about like email lists and pop-ups and stuff that I was like, you know, very foreign to me at the time. And then the early mornings and kind of the evenings were spent either sourcing people to interview, writing interview questions, learning photography, scheduling times to interview these women who were going to be on the site. So it was a lot of, you know, more like logistical work for the morning and afternoon and editing. And then eventually, at some point I got to a place where the website, you know, did launch obviously, October 2013. And when I had it launch, I had I would say probably like 15 interviews ready to go. So what my goal was to publish a new interview every Tuesday and Thursday. And then I would send a newsletter once a month. And that's the basics of what I started with. And I think I was also spending time like, you know, where I could to learn, you know, Pinterest, Instagram. I mean, the early days are kind of horrific with that, but I was, you know, learning how to do all that. And, you know, I was lucky in the sense that it was also 2013. Like, you have to remember a lot of those platforms were so early too. So that's where the majority of the time was being spent. It was either being spent doing, like, you know, the actual busy work of editing, uploading, putting on WordPress, et cetera, or it was spent trying to learn a new skill.
Yeah. Well, and I love how you had mentioned, I mean, you alluded to that, you know, when you did this in 2013, it's probably, your Pinterest board probably looks a lot different today than maybe it did in 2013 when you first got started. Maybe it's more optimized. Maybe there's more keywords. Maybe there's better graphics and what have you.
Oh, for sure.
And I think that is such a great point for people to see examples and listeners to hear these things of the fact that it, we can look at like such an amazing established brand today, but where we start, where you start as a listener is going to be completely different than where you end up at. And you're the only way that you can make a second, a third, a fourth iteration or version of something is by making that like first messy version to then go through and iterate. So I love that you shared that. How did you have an idea from a revenue model standpoint in your mind? And I always share this on the podcast. When I started the She Did Her Way podcast in 2015, it was a hobby. I had no intention of making revenue. So I'm curious, like, did you know right away that you were thinking, okay, we're going to use opt-ins, we're going to build courses, or did it kind of unveil itself as you continued to move forward in the business?
Yeah, definitely not. I wish I had thought about that a little bit more. People were, again, in 2013, kind of just starting to publicly share also how they were monetizing websites. I think the first thing for me was I was trying to get clarity around like what, you know, when people say, what do you do? It was sometimes a struggle to answer, especially after, you know, having such a straightforward answer before, like I'm a recruiter at Hulu.
Yeah.
Like there's no more questions. People know what that is. So I was kind of struggling to figure out what I was doing. And, I think, getting clarity on the fact that I was essentially building, you know, a media site or a blog, but for me, it was a media site just because I looked at blogging as more at the time too. I think it's important to provide this context. Like, a lot of bloggers were doing like their own personal lifestyle. Like now there's a lot of bloggers who have developed into brands, but I wasn't talking about really anything other than careers and interviewing women. So I was kind of looking at it from a media viewpoint. And what I did is I started learning, well, how do media companies monetize themselves? Mm-hmm. And it was like sponsored content, display ads. You know, there was obviously affiliate marketing. And so when I started to research that, that's when I added an actual blog component to the website. So when Career Contestant first started, we had our interview series, which we still have. And then I called it blog, which is now called Advice on Career Contestant, which is sort of the bread and butter of Career Contestant, where we have tons of articles on a variety of topics. Once I started doing the interviews and the blog portion, I ended up, I kind of realized, okay, well, let me do this for a year or two consistently and see where I can get with my traffic. And I actually ended up getting my first big brand partnership pretty soon after from Squarespace. And I used that money to hire my first employee, who was just like a full-time editor / content manager. So I think for me, it was sort of the research around like the business model of like, okay, what is my business model? Like, what are types of business models out there? So I might've started with courses had that been the business model that I had, you know, found.
Sure.
But I found media right site first.
It's all the, what we, so it's so easy to look back and think, oh man, if I knew that, I would have done that first, would have done that second.
Yeah,
rearranged.
Totally. Yeah. But we also had, because we were a career site and I was a recruiter, we've always had job postings on the site. And so that was like our very first dollar, like our first $50, it used to only cost $50 to post a job on Career Contestant, was from our job. So I think the good news is that, and like looking back now, I think it is good to always have something that you're charging for from the very beginning, because people do get trained to expect whatever expectations you give them. So at Career Contestant, you know, it has been more challenging to, you know, sell online courses, for example, because we have so much stuff for free. But our main monetization is, you know, our media. So we need people visiting the site and things like that.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, no, that's amazing. And thank you for sharing that. And I do, like, I'm curious, and maybe I think I have a question, but I'm going to wait until we kind of get into that timeline, because I'm curious as how you would, when you look back, so the website launched in October of 13, and it's now summer of 2020, which is bonkers. Yeah. How would you say, like, how, if you had to categorize your journey as an online business owner, entrepreneur, coach, who's built this insanely amazing brand, how would you break up that journey if you had to put it into chunks from where you started to where you are today?
Yeah. I mean, I always joke that what people see today, I've felt every single email sign up, you know, Instagram follower, page view, like every iteration of the website. So, I mean, what people see today and they're like, oh, like you just have this massive thing. It's like, but it was every single piece of this was step by step. Like I feel like, you know, there's 155,000 people that follow us on Instagram. I feel like I know when each of those people followed us, you know, so yeah. It has not been overnight in any way, shape or form. It's literally been bit by bit. So like I started with articles and interviews, and jobs. Those were the four things I started with. Then I added on the very first service we ever, launched was career coaching, our career coaching service. On a whim, I started doing webinars and people liked them. So then I was like, okay, I'll keep doing them. And like eventually when we redid our website, I was like, okay, there's enough webinars now that we should, you know, have a section for them. The downloads or our downloadable resources, we used to give those away for free because my style has always been very like, I went to school to be a teacher. And so I think it's just very natural for me to, when I'm describing something, to give people examples, like here's a template or here's a worksheet or here's a way that you can make a list. And those were becoming really helpful. And so sometimes it's happened out of convenience of like, I've wanted a home for these things to live. Like I wanted all the webinars to live somewhere. I wanted all the downloadable resources to live somewhere. So I wish I could say like, oh, it was really well thought out. They were just sort of like pieces that kind of kept, you know, they were popular or people liked them. And then it was like, okay, when we built our last version of our website, I was like, okay, this has to be organized. Like now we're getting to the point where we have so much information and it really needs to be easy for people to figure out. So I think the list of resources really came about from a need to like organize things and make it simple for people. And then of course, like in 2018 is when we launched our podcast. That was because we got in touch with a network. So we've definitely have had some really lucky breaks. In there, absolutely. Like launching the online courses was because I had been a career coach on our website and I was kind of running out of time. I just didn't have the time to do that anymore. And yet so many people were coming with the same types of questions, you know, about resumes or job search or, and now we've expanded into like more leadership and communication skills. So you know, there wasn't like a map I was following. And I think that's actually important. I think it's good to be adaptable and flexible but keep things organized, because I can tell you from firsthand experience, it's really painful to have to go backwards and organize.
I know. And I sometimes think that is a rite of passage in a way of that you kind of have to go out and then, but I'm totally with you because I think there is also, and even just, you know, sharing those stories about how you went through iterations of the website and how you've gone back and now you've organized content. Maybe it wasn't organized the way that you wanted before. So often that can stall people out in the beginning, because I know for working with students in my programs, one of the things that comes up is that, well, if I don't know exactly what it's going to, if it's not going to look like the way that I want it to look in 5 years right away, usually people are going to say, what's the point? Right. And so, but it is, once I feel if you can maneuver your way through that mindset and learn to be okay with that the imperfectness of it all and know that it's always a work in progress, then it's like the sky's the limit, because you know that where it's at today is not going to look the same way that it is, you know, in a year or in 2 years. And where would you say then, you know, where have you grown most in your business in the past few years? Where is that, like, would you say you've grown the most personally and then also as a business?
I mean, I spent the last 2 years basically working on my book that just came out. So on a personal level, I mean, that was like the longest and hardest, like, personal slash professional accomplishment. So, you know, and that's also just like a huge learning curve, because one of the things about writing a book when you're working with a major publisher is like, that's like an old school business. They have the way they do things, you know, versus like, I came from this like very scrappy startup world where it was like, no one's ever done this before or figure it out, you know, so that was kind of interesting, just navigating all of that. And then of course having to actually sit down and write. I think for Career Contessa as a business, you know, there's so many. I mean, from like a business standpoint, one of the things I've definitely have learned is that I kind of use this metaphor a lot called glitter and glue. And glue is like, you know, the content that we have on Career Contessa, the things that we offer in Career Contessa that really hold the site and the brand together. And then there's the glitter items. And there are definitely, you know, things on Career Contessa that perform way better than others. And yet sometimes we'll keep something around because it's like, yes, but it's really important to have that. Or, you know, so we've had to, I would say in the last year, like trying to find the balance between that, where it's like, okay, but this is a business. So we need to be able to pay our bills and run it and pay employees, but also not getting too caught up in like chasing, you know, the shiny objects that seem really cool, but you're like, that is really cool. It's just not a good fit for us. And so I would say in the last like year and a half, especially, I think there's been a lot of focus about like defining like what is the lane that we are in, and kind of being like, we're going to stay in our lane and we're going to be the best at what we do versus trying to, you know, expand and try to be all things to all people. So that's, you know, certainly been, like an evolution of Career Contessa. It's just sort of being like, no, we're a career site for women. So we talk about these type of topics. We offer this type of stuff. Obviously there's been a lot of, you know, people who are like, why don't you launch a journal? Or why don't you do that? Like, there's always someone who's like, why don't you do? And you're like, we have enough to do keeping up with what we have. And, you know, and making sure that the people who come to Career Contessa and sign up for our newsletter get value and ultimately get answers to their career questions, right? Like, that's our job here. So I think that's been on a professional level, just, you know, sometimes, as you said, it's like a rite of passage. Sometimes you have to learn those lessons the hard way.
Yeah. And there's always seasons of pruning. And to your point, I think the further you get into a brand or a business, it's easier to know which lane you're in and not. I remember in the beginning, I was like, I'm going to say yes to everything and I'm going to build everything and I'm going to do this program. And then you, like you said, it's kind of that rite of passage where you learn that, okay, it's maybe not the most efficient route to do that. Yet, would I have known that? Would you have known that if you didn't do it or have that experience? And I know for you, one of the best piece of advice is keeping patience and playing the long game. I would love for you to share a little bit more about, you know, what has made that and why has that been your piece of advice to business owners and new business owners?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of, false stories, or at least it looks like out there, that some people are getting success right away and they're building these million-dollar businesses seemingly overnight or whatever it is. And ultimately, what I have found that really what it takes to build a business that is great is consistency and patience. You know, no one is self-made. No one is doing this stuff overnight. You know, as you mentioned, what you're seeing on Career Contessa, that's 7 years in the making. Now, there are some people who maybe have a lot more resources to begin with. And so they're able to make, you know, in 7 years, they're able to do more than I've been able to do, but you can't compare your apples to someone else's oranges, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I got this advice when I was first starting out: if you're not going to spend 5 years on it, don't spend 5 minutes on it. And at the time I was like, are you crazy? If I'm doing this for 5 years and this hasn't, you know, done this and this and this, and I had this whole laundry list, like, I'm out. But you learn so much as you go, and you realize that, like, you know, if you were to speed it up, it would take, you know, some other resource, or it's not real, you know, real growth. Like, can you run a gazillion Facebook ads and do something? Of course. But, you know, the question would be, is that real growth or are you buying your way to it? And so I think you have to keep a really good balance of that what I said before, that glitter and glue, you know, like the glue being like the real users who are coming to your site and engaging with your brand, versus, you know, the glitter of being able to say like, oh, we have 1 million email subscribers, but no one ever opens your email. So what's the difference? You know, kind of stuff like that, vanity metrics, I think. And I just think it's not something that people talk a lot about, is the resilience, the grit, and the patience, like truly the patience it takes to do what I'm doing. Like people who, or anybody who's, you know, still working on their blog, it's like they know, like, hey, you have to put in the time day in and day out with zero expectation for a long time before you get a return, potentially. I mean, that should be your expectation. And I think a lot of people go into this with the expectation that, you know, they're going to be making 6 figures in 6 months. And it's just like, maybe, but I wouldn't have that expectation.
Yeah. You just said something too of like, I love that you had said, okay, if you're not going to spend 5 years doing this, don't spend 5 minutes. I had the same, if someone said that to me, I would have probably been like, yeah, you're crazy. Watch, I'm going to do this in 5 months. Right. But the truth and the reality is that it's that consistently showing up and having that long-term commitment and patience with it as well. And yes, there are some ways that you can build a six-figure business in 6 months. I would definitely be curious to ask someone, okay, what exactly were you doing before that 6 months, before you started that clock? Because there's so much. And I think what you were sharing earlier is it's really easy to look online and think, oh my gosh, I'm so far behind. This person did this X, Y, and Z in this amount of time. And why is mine not working? Right. And then we get in that headspace of not working. The other thing is that revenue is very different than profit. It's very different than paying yourself. And it's, you know, I'll like, whether someone's a longtime listener, or if you guys have, you know, recently found this podcast, which by the way, welcome. It's when I was a contractor, it was easier for me to keep 100%, take that pie, 25 to 30% went to taxes, but remaining after taxes, it was easy for me to take majority of it because it was just subcontract work. In the case of building a business and you've got people you pay, you've got taxes, you've got payroll, all that stuff. If someone's making revenue of $100,000 a year, it's likely that they're not taking that home. And I think being more aware of that is when we see it, to remind ourselves that like, okay, here's a vanity. Like we throw it around, we talk about the six figures, but in reality, like what is your take home? What's happening behind the scenes? Mm-hmm. And I don't think enough people talk about that. I could probably even talk about that more, right? Like what you pay yourself today, 7 years after starting your business, is probably looking like a lot different than what you paid yourself 7 years ago.
Yeah, totally. And I definitely have been fairly transparent about that lesson I learned, you know, in 2018, I definitely made the assumption that if you can double your revenue, then awesome, your profits of course go up. And that's not the case, you know? And so I've had to learn a lot about how can you increase revenue without increasing your expenses, right? If you want to keep your profit margins high, then you need to think about, okay, what are the things that we offer on Career Contessa where, you know, in order to increase this, I don't have to increase how much it costs me to do this thing, for example. So that's definitely it was a tough lesson. You know, it's one of the reasons why, you know, our team used to be twice as big and versus what it is now. It's because we've shifted our whole business to focus on things that allow us to hopefully try to create more profit, and not necessarily only focus on revenue. So I agree. I think that's whether you know it already or you have to learn it the hard way, it's an important lesson to make sure you know the difference.
Yeah. And it's similar to what you're saying. Okay. If you have an email list of 1 million people, but you know, only 1% open it up, that is not as strong as if you have an email list of 100,000 people and a greater percentage of people actually open it up. So yeah, it's definitely about perspective, but ultimately going back to not comparing your apples to someone else's apples and staying focused on your journey and what you're doing is so, so key. What would you say, when you think about your day-to-day? Well, tell us a little bit about what's your day-to-day look like, and then how do you get yourself into alignment, and maybe how that's sort of shifted from when you first started the business to how you operate today?
Yeah, I would say the way I operate today is I'm like a very well-oiled machine. I have, maybe it's not every day is the same, but like the week, it's like I have a list of things that I have to get done between Monday and Tuesday. And then I have a list of things that I have to get done between Thursday and Friday. Wednesdays are our team meeting days. So it's basically my week is really, there's a lot of routine to it. Obviously I try not to pack my schedule so that I can leave room for things as they come up and doing, you know, stuff like this, a podcast interview that wouldn't have been part of my normal routine. So, and the difference between now and, you know, when I first started is I was sort of, I feel like, I definitely suffered from like, I would just chase this shiny object. Like I would see something, I would have this idea, and then I would just run with it. And now I'm way more thoughtful. I pause before I do stuff. Like I said, I kind of run everything through the like, well, this is who we are at Career Contessa. This is what we do. And if it fits into that, maybe explore it more. So I'm a little less reactive and way more proactive. Our team has spent a ton of time on organizing our processes and our workflows so that there's a lot of clarity around, you know, expectations, you know, as things kind of move through the quote unquote assembly line, who works on what. And I think that was another thing that I definitely would urge people to do from day one is don't skimp on like the tools that you need to pay for to help you organize things. Because you'll eventually have to organize stuff. And like I said, it's way more painful to have to go back and organize than it is to just organize from the beginning. And I mean, at least for my team, there's three of us. So I find it more, more manageable to manage, to like think about the workflows and the processes when there's quote unquote less cooks in the kitchen. So we work on everything pretty well, but you know, that's because all these workflows have been documented and everybody kind of plugs in what they need to get done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. And what software tools do you guys use in your business?
Yeah. So we use Basecamp as our project management tool. Dropbox is where we share all our large files. Slack is our go-to, you know, everyday communication. We also have a ton of channels, so it kind of like keeps track of a lot of other side projects. We use Google Docs all the time. We use Google Hangouts for our weekly meetings now. We used to work in an office. And then we have a really intense editorial calendar, so which is just made in like a Google Excel list, but it's kind of the holy grail of everything that's happening, and it lists any of the videos, any of the podcasts, any of the written content. I mean, every week we're publishing a lot of content, probably anywhere between 15 to 20 pieces of content. Wow. And they could be podcasts, videos, written content, webinars, you know, downloadable resources. And then of course we have the social media so it's kind of like we break our process into there's content creation and then there's content distribution. So content creation and management of that is really kind of set in the editorial calendar. And then the editorial calendar helps, like I do all the marketing at Career Contessa, I work off of that for a separate marketing calendar to know what we're promoting every single day. We're big fans of Meet Edgar, which is yes. Will automatically recycle your content. So that's awesome. Icono Square for Instagram. We use something called Tap Bio. So when you go on our Instagram, you'll instead of clicking on just like careercontessa.com, which I think is a good user experience for people on Instagram. And I will say, if anybody's feeling overwhelmed by this, none of this happened overnight. Like understanding our data, and the other thing that I've gotten really strict about, or just like, is I hired someone to analyze all of our data at the beginning of January of 2020, so that we can know. We know where everyone is coming from and how they're getting there. So we know the most important channels. So for example, if someone joins our email list, we know where they came from. So we know which tools, and this is really important too. Just like, just know where you're getting the most bang for your buck. So like, for example, we know to put more energy into Instagram versus Twitter because Instagram converts more people, not only to our website, but to become email subscribers. So we've got basically one main goal, which is to get people to become email subscribers. But it's kind of like, you know, they might not want to become an email subscriber on day one. So we have to use tools to help, you know, hopefully get them on that list. Once they're on the list, the goal is to get them to engage with our content, but also maybe buy an online course or book a career coaching session or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is. And I love all of the tools and just remembering that it's not an overnight thing and it's building them in there and the processes as you go along. That's so good. Well, let's go ahead and move into the rapid fire round. So these are meant to be quick and fast. And we'll just start out of what is something in your life that is a non-negotiable?
My morning walk.
Love those. What is one thing or one place where you get your inspiration from?
Oh, our readers and their questions.
Mm-hmm. What do you believe others think is insane?
That it's easy and glamorous to be an entrepreneur.
Yes. Then do you have a certain quote that you live by?
Everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm. And then a best, actually I'm going to add one more after this one. What's the best $100 or less purchase someone can make in their business?
Oh, their URL, getting your website.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. And then what is, aside from your book, of course, what has been a very pivotal book that has played a role? It doesn't have to, it can be business, it can be leisure, it can be fiction, but what is a book that you recommend?
I loved The Confidence Code and I read it when I was kind of deciding to, you know, jump ship at Hulu and do this on my own or not. And I feel like, that's just like one of those classic books that especially every woman should read.
Love it. Amazing. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for coming on the show. Is there anything else, that you'd like to share and then tell our listeners where they can find you and learn more about Career Contessa?
Yeah, no, I think we got it all.
Yeah.
It was very thorough. You did a great job. So Career Contessa, our website is careercontessa.com. We are at Career Contessa on pretty much every social channel you can think of. We're kind of most known for our Instagram. My book is called Power Moves, How Women Can Pivot, Reboot, and Build a Career Purpose. And it can be bought wherever books are sold, or you can go to powermovesbook.com. There's a separate website for that. And then we also have a podcast and it's called The Females. So you can hang out with us every Tuesday and get your career advice. And that is spelled FEMAILS. So look for us wherever you get your podcasts.
Amazing. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for coming on the show and I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed today's podcast episode, you can head on over to shedidithowaypodcast.com where you can access the entire vault of She Did It Her Way podcast episodes and more information all about how to make the ultimate leap from your 9-to-5. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful if you headed on over to iTunes and left a review letting me know what you love about the She Did It Her Way podcast. Until next time, keep doing it your way.